Hey everybody, it's Lucky with Sugar Buzz Magazine. I'm down here at the Redwood Bar and Grill in Los Angeles, California, and I'm here with Louise Distras from London, England. She just did a set here, which I'm gonna say I'm pretty blown away by. Louise, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, thank you. It's nice to meet you finally.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, I mean, we did an interview a few years ago for Sugar Buzz magazine, and you've been so supportive, and I'm super grateful for all your support ever since over the past few years. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Yeah, that was 2013 that we did that interview.
2013? Oh my God. Yeah, but you're one of the first people to actually spread the word about my music here in America. You're one of the first people to actually pick up on what I'm doing and tell the world about it. I think that's amazing.
Now that is pretty great.
Yeah.
So this is your second time here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the first time I was here last summer and I played an in-store Vacation Vinyl. I think that's down near Silver Lake. Is it Silver Lake?
That sounds about right. Yeah. I unfortunately missed that show, but yeah, I think that's where it was at.
Yeah.
So what day did you get here this week?
I arrived on Monday.
On Monday. And what did you fill your time with? What have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing some work, getting ready for the tour. I went to the beach. I saw some friends. The best thing, actually, about what my time here so far is that when I went to the beach, I went to Santa Monica with my friends who are in this amazing band called Love Zombies, and they're really, really good people. You should check them out, obviously. But we went to the beach, and it was the first time I ever wore a bikini on the beach, and it was the first time in my life that I swam in the ocean, and it was amazing. It's one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. It was brilliant, absolutely incredible.
Wow, that sounds strange to me because I've grown up in California and I've lived at the beach most of my life. So
that's
pretty amazing. So let's talk about your music. So you have one full-length release out.
That's right.
Dreams from the Factory Floor.
Yeah.
And you followed that up with a 7-inch with Bullets, a special rendition of Bullets, and Love Me the Way That I Am.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm the proud owner of number 24 out of 250 of that, which you kindly autographed, and that's great. So do you got anything planned for new releases? What do you got going?
Yeah, I mean, God, Dreams, I self-released Dreams in 2013 on my own label called Street Revolution Records. But then Pirates Press Records from San Francisco, they released it on vinyl over here in the States in 2015. So, I mean, even though, you know, the album's been out for, you know, almost 3 years now, it's still pretty new here in the States, which is, you know, why I'm coming over and, you know, because people are still discovering the record and they're still connecting with it, which is incredible. And I hope that it's a testament to the songs, you know, because we live in this one-click society, everything's so throwaway. So I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, but I've made a record that people are still discovering and still, you know, connecting with. I'm going to do this tour here in the States. And when I go back, I'm planning on releasing a new song, I hope, a brand new song.
Yeah. And that's the song that we heard tonight. I think you played that second in your set. What's that song called?
Well, at the moment it's called Eileen, but it might change. It might change. That's the title of it so far. I mean, it's a song I wrote about. I wrote it about Eileen Wuornos, who we were chatting about earlier. But I mean, it's sort of, you know, I can really identify with the story of her life. What inspired me to write the song and why I connected with it so much is that. It's because, how can I describe it? It's like, I've had some very, very horrible personal experiences in my life that I've been blamed for, you know. And I hate the fact that we live in a world that blames victims for the things that have happened to them. Do you know what I'm... Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense.
And Eileen, you know, she was a woman that defended herself against her attacker, but, you know, she became sabotaged by society and sabotaged by the prison system and, you know, by the media and by Hollywood, who basically rinsed her for everything, you know, that she was, and they took away her dignity, you know, in order to make money And, you know, money was more important than the actual truth of what happened. So, yeah, so it's just a story that I can just connect to just from, you know, some very personal and not very nice things that have happened, you know. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
I hope I articulated that well.
Well, I enjoyed the song. We're just checking to make sure we're still recording here. Okay, we are. Yeah, these phones are iffy. So we talked earlier also about a friend of both of ours, Brandy Rowe.
Yeah.
And apparently Brandy's interested in having some dates in the future with you guys as kind of a double bill. I think that would be great. Are you interested in that? Or
I absolutely love Brandy. I love him as a person. I love his music. I have the utmost respect and admiration for his songwriting and for his artistry. I think he's absolutely brilliant, and I really think that more people should check out his music. And his music really, he deserves to be heard. You know, everything's at the moment is so PC and it's so apathetic and it's so safe, you know. The world needs more authentic artists, you know, like Brandy, you know. So yeah, we you know, and from what he said, you know, he seems to, you know, really dig my stuff as well. So it's been on the cards for a while, you know. It's just a case of like trying to pull something together at some point, you know, and make it work. You know, we're both very busy people, but you know, we're talking about it, and hopefully, you know, we can figure something out pretty soon. I really hope we can.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. Hopefully you'll be able to make it out to the West Coast with that. That'd be great. So let's talk about the tour you're on now. Tonight was the kickoff. Where are you headed after here?
We're going to Long Beach. I don't know the order of the dates, but I know we're doing, like, Long Beach, Reno, Nevada, Ventura, Bakersfield. Shit, where else am I going? I can't remember. But the last date is in Las Vegas because I'm playing the Punk Rock Bowling Festival on Monday the 30th of May. So Vegas.
Yeah, well, that's pretty exciting. You played Punk Rock Bowling before, didn't you?
No, not before.
Oh, this will be your first time.
Yeah, it's my first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's a really important event out there. I know people that have attended. It's a good thing.
I've heard amazing things about it, and I'm so pleased and so happy that I've been invited to play and, you know, and fly the flag for female British artists, you know. But, I mean, I checked out the lineup, and it looked fucking amazing. But I have to say this, out of all the acts that are playing over the course of the weekend, there are actually only two female artists that are playing.
Really?
Out of the whole festival, yeah. There's me and this all-girl band from Las Vegas called Negative Nancy's, who are absolutely fantastic. And, so technically I suppose you could say I'm the female headliner. But, you know, but joking aside, it's an inequality and a disparity that does need to be addressed and it does need to be pointed out. You know, I'm not being ungrateful. I think it's an amazing opportunity to play there, but it's like I can't ignore the fact that I am one of only two female artists out of over 100 guys playing over the course of the weekend, you know.
It's kind of surprising because there are a lot of female artists out there, you know, that come through town and do things. So I'm surprised to hear that, actually.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, the world has absolutely tons of amazing, talented women artists. But, I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, I spoke to a whole bunch of people and, you know, when I've been doing interviews and stuff, and they've said, oh, God, I didn't even realise. And this is the thing, you know, I guess you don't realise these things until they affect you directly or until these issues affect someone that you know in such a powerful way, you know. And, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not really a fan of the whole victim narrative, you know. I mean, being a woman in music is a fucking awesome thing. It's an amazing experience, and, you know, and I would encourage any woman to get into music, you know, and express themselves and write music and rock out and just do whatever the fuck that they want, you know. And that's what punk rock is about to me. It's not about excluding people. It's about including people and empowering them to follow their own path and to show each other that, you know, that we can do it too and to lift each other up. That's what punk means to me.
That's great. Okay, so let's jump topics here. Have a drink. Louise is having a drink right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Of water.
Yeah. She wants you all to know she's drinking water. So, Louise, you brought merchandise with you tonight.
I sure did.
Why is it important for people that come to the shows to support the artist and buy merchandise?
Well, I mean, as for me, as a music fan, you know, if there's a band or an artist that I like, you know, I want to be able to connect with them. I want to be able to wear their designs or wear their name with pride and represent them, you know, and tell everybody about them. As a music fan, that's what I would like to do. So, you know, I think, well, you know, for the people that are fans of my music, which I think is really cool. You know, what would they like? You know, would they want a vinyl? Would they want a digital download? Would they want a CD? Would they want a T-shirt or a patch? You know, so I just kind of ask people what it is that they would like. You know, what kind of souvenirs and what do they want? You know, to wear, and they tell me, and then I just do my best to try and fulfill it. Really, you know.
Cool. And speaking of the tour, Ryan Davidson, he did the set before you. He's on the tour with you.
Yeah.
For the West Coast, how did you guys hook up?
Well, strangely enough, Ryan has toured with Brian, so it's a small world, you know. We all have like mutual friends, and or we've all played shows with each other in some kind of fashion, you know. Like for example, Ryan knows the bass player Ginny from the Red Paintings, who I was on tour with in the UK, and you know, it's like, and then there's all people here tonight that all seem to know each other, you know, just through music, you know. And it's like, I mean, it can feel like a big world, but I think in the world of music, it's actually kind of a small world, and especially in punk rock, you know, it's a very close-knit community, so that it's more like family. So that's really kind of just a reason why me and Ryan, how we met, you know, because we just know so many of the same people, and we've played with so many of the same artists.
And you mentioned Brian. He was your support for the last tour through the West Coast, right?
No, it was kind of like a tag team tour. Like, Brian came over and supported me in the UK and in mainland Europe, and then I came back over to the States and I supported Brian on his Wedgwood album release tour over here in the States. Yeah, so Brian was here tonight as well, and Ryan was here, and a bunch of other people who I haven't seen in ages. So it was really nice to like see familiar faces, but also a lot of new faces as well. It was cool. It's a cool experience.
Very cool. Okay, I got one last one for you, and then I'm going to let you go. So we mentioned the interview that we did in 2013.
Yeah.
And during that interview, you stated, I'm going to quote you.
Yeah.
I just view myself as a young working class woman that's no different to anybody else, passing on the message of the disenfranchised new generation. We all share the same hopes and dreams for a fairer life and a better future. And we all have our own factory floor. Now, Louise, my question to you is, in 2016, have any of those dreams for a fairer life and a better future been realized?
That's a good question. I don't necessarily consider... I don't know. I just consider... You mean for me personally?
Yeah, for you personally.
Well, for me personally, I just consider myself extremely lucky and extremely privileged to be able to play music and travel, play these songs, connect with people all over, really. I mean, you know, I'm completely broke, you know. I don't have a home. I don't have a home in the UK. I'm there, you know, couch surfing, but, you know, whatever. So it depends what you... Like, I don't know. I guess it just depends what you want. You know what I mean? I'm living my dream. I am living my dream, you know. I get to do this, and it's a gift, you know. It's an absolute gift to be able to play music, and I consider myself extremely lucky to be able to go down this path. So, yeah, that's all I really ask for my life, and I'm doing it. So whether it's fairer or, you know, I don't know. But I'm happy, and I feel like I'm on the right path, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a great answer.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so I want to thank you very much for your time. Again, the set was awesome tonight. We look forward to seeing you again soon. And thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for all your support over the past few years. It's amazing to finally meet you as well.
It's nice to meet you too.
Thank you so much for coming.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man. Cool, 15 minutes. That's a good...